One of the most frequently played songs at this time of year is I'll Be Home for Christmas. It was recorded by Bing Crosby in 1943, and it instantly became a hit, especially among servicemen, because it came out during World War II. And it remains popular today because the message still resonates. Home. And that's the place where people want to be for Christmas. It's the place where soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan want to be for Christmas. It's where college students want to be for Christmas. It's where most of us want to be for Christmas. Home. It's ironic, though, that the holiday that we associate so closely with being at home was inaugurated and first celebrated by people who were away from home. If you were to call the homes of some of the key players in that first Christmas, the only thing you'd get would be their answering machine telling you to leave a message after the beep because they weren't home. If on that first Christmas you were to call the home of Joseph and Mary, you wouldn't have found them at home. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph and Mary left their home. They were residents of Nazareth in Galilee. Bethlehem was located 90 miles to the south, and it was the ancestral home of Joseph. And because the census required that you register in your ancestral home, he had to make that journey to register for the census. I mean, driving 90 miles while somebody is progressing in their pregnancy is difficult enough. You know, you hop in the Corolla and you drive 90 miles and you're pregnant, and it's probably there weren't nearly as many McDonald's back then. You know, the sign said like three serve, but anyway, we digress. But it's even a little bit more difficult when your means of getting there is alternating between walking and riding on a donkey. But nevertheless, they made this 90-mile journey. Luke said, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. We don't know how long they had been in Bethlehem when she was ready to give birth. The fact that it says while they were there may suggest that they had been there for a while. When we usually think of the birth of Jesus, we usually think of a hurried arrival into town, and immediately afterwards she gave birth and everything was kind of hectic. But that's not necessarily the case. And even the phrase while they were there, you get the impression maybe they had been there for a while. Maybe Joseph and Mary took into account the fact that she was pregnant and traveling would be easier earlier on, so maybe they arrived weeks. Maybe they arrived months earlier. And you wonder, too, maybe did Joseph and Mary want to kind of hide the pregnancy a little bit from some of the townsfolks who were known to gossip? And so maybe they did leave weeks or a few months ahead of time so that everything could happen down in the ancestral home while they were getting ready to register for the census. In any event, While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Jesus wasn't born at home. He wasn't born in his parents' home in Nazareth in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophet Micah said. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just like Micah said. But where was he born? In Bethlehem. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Bethlehem was a rather small town. There weren't many places for visitors to lodge. And there were probably some extra people in town because people were coming from all over to register for the census, so space was at a premium. Probably the local residents were opening up their homes and making room for relatives and friends so that they could stay there during this time. Most translations say that there was no room for them in the inn. The English word inn may not necessarily be the best way to translate what the Greek says. The impression from the Greek could be that this is just a lodging space, a place for you to live or a place for you to stay. When Luke gives the story about the Good Samaritan and he talks about the Good Samaritan taking the person to an inn, he uses a different word for an inn, where an innkeeper is actually present. And we always think of some mean old innkeeper when we think about Jesus not being allowed a room to stay, but there's no mention of an innkeeper. And so it's possible that it's not even an inn when we think of a Motel 6 or a bed and breakfast or something like that. It may have been just some space somewhere in somebody's room. We're not sure exactly how it happened. It could have been that they originally maybe stayed in a relative's home. And as more people came to register for the census, a few more relatives were being added to the mix. And maybe Joseph and Mary were thinking, we don't want to give birth, like with a big audience. So maybe what we're going to do is kind of slip out and go somewhere else and get a different space. There's really no room for us over here. Another possibility is that in many towns, now since Bethlehem was not on a major trade route, it's probably unlikely that they had an inn. If they did have an inn, at the very best, it would have been a simple two-story structure. This would be the best that they would have hoped for. Bottom, the animals. The top would be the guests. But since it wasn't on a major trade route, it's probably likely that there wasn't even an inn there. But even a small town like Bethlehem would have a sheltered canopy area for people who were passing through to at least be under. They could stop there, spend the night, they could have their animals there. During the day, they could stay there and be protected from the sun. So it could have been something as rudimentary as this. Or it could have been, if they were staying at a relative's house, that the place they went to may have been attached to the house where the animals were, or in a cave where animals were. And the reason we talk about a place where animals were, because of where Jesus was placed. Where was he placed? He was placed in a manger. That was a feeding trough for animals. We don't know exactly what to picture in our minds, although we do all picture something. But we do know this: he wasn't at home. And we know this, that the place he was a place that you'd associate with animals living. Here he is, the Son of God, the object of hundreds of prophecies. And where he was born was in a place that was often inhabited by animals. He wasn't surrounded by the best doctors that the ancient world could offer. He was surrounded by some curious critters who are wondering, who's this? And could I eat him? I wonder if in a setting like that, Mary and Joseph were thinking, boy, I wish we were home. But they weren't. They were away from home. But they weren't the only ones who were away from home on that first Christmas. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The shepherds were away from home that night. They were working the late shift. They were out in the fields on the hillsides of Bethlehem watching their sheep. And while doing so, they were startled by first an angel and then a host of angels who brought them words of comfort and good news. What was the good news? "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Could there be any better news than that? What a message to a group of people whose lives were messed up by their own sin, individually and as a nation, who also suffered because of the sins of other people around them. What better news could there be than that the great deliverer was here, that Christ the Savior, the Messiah, was born? How would they recognize that this was indeed the Messiah? "There will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." They find him wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in an animal feeding trough. That would be a clear sign. It sure would be. Where would you expect royalty to be born? In a palace? Yeah. A mansion? Yeah. Certainly not where animals lived. Certainly not laying in a feeding trough. The angel who shared the message was joined by other angels, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." God is to be praised because he brings peace. He brings wholeness to people. And the only way that's going to happen is if he takes sin out of our lives, because sin is what makes us not whole. Sin messes up everything on the inside of us, and that interferes with all our relationships with other people. Most of all, it interferes with our relationship with God, and we don't have peace with him. What did the shepherds do? When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. He was there exactly as the angel had said, wrapped in strips of cloth. He was lying in this manger. And even though they didn't fully grasp things, everything that they did understand, everything that they had just heard and seen, they tell to Joseph and Mary. God was obviously doing something special in this little town, in this awkward kind of setting. He was doing something that would have a worldwide impact. But their night was not over. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They celebrated their Christmas in spectacular fashion. What a great Christmas. I mean, we like it when we see the tree lights go on and candles burning. I mean, they had this angelic experience. And then they go and they see what the angel said actually came to pass. This news about a great Savior. And then they go out and they spend the night going through the streets. I'm sure they were stopping everybody they came across, telling them about this great news, this great event. They celebrated their first Christmas in great fashion, but they celebrated it away from home. I mean, everybody seemed to be away from home. Joseph and Mary were away from home that first Christmas. The shepherds were away from home that first Christmas. Jesus was away from home that first Christmas. Even Jesus, maybe especially Jesus, was away from home. Why do we say that? Because I think John points that out in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is a reference to Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Wow. He was in the beginning. He didn't come to be in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John is shouting in the opening of his gospel, you know Jesus? He's God. He's divine. And then the Christmas story, according to John, is in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Why did Jesus leave home? Well, to display the glory of God, as he says in verse 14. And also in verse 14, to reveal grace and truth. He's the embodiment of grace and truth. He's the expression of grace and truth. And in verse 18, he also came to explain the Father. I mean, how can you explain something that you can't see? You usually want to take something that you can see and understand and use that to explain what you can't see. Jesus explains the Father. Paul describes Jesus' journey from home in this way in Philippians chapter 2. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Why did he leave home? He left home to serve us. He left home to provide for us what nobody else could provide for us. Paul goes on to talk about that. What did Jesus do when he became like us? Paul continues in Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He left home to be our Savior. He left home to save us from our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins on the cross. And that's why the angel could say this when he spoke to Joseph about not being worried about the pregnancy of Mary. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's why the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2:11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus left heaven, he left home, so that he could pay for our sin, that which alienates us from God and keeps us from home, so that he can one day bring us back home. Because we're all away from home. Jesus said to his disciples, they were very troubled at the thought that he was going to leave them. Jesus said to them in John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. On that very first Christmas, it seems like everybody was away from home. Joseph and Mary were away from home. And the shepherds were away from home. And even Jesus left home. He left home so we don't have to remain away from home. He came down to rescue us, to pay for our sin that separates us, and to bring us back home to a prepared place.